Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on February 10th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry. And you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie. You're not doing so great today, huh?
Now, I have a little post nasal drip going here. Sorry about that.
No. Oh. Well, I hope you're feeling better soon.
No. I'm okay. I'm fine.
Good. So, what's been going on lately, Jackie?
You mean other than the rain?
Yeah. Other than the rain.
We're getting more this morning.
Yeah, I hear. I think it's going to last all day, perhaps into the evening.
Man.
It's going to be
all
a
right.
long one
it's
today.
Okay. I'm still not complaining.
We'll get through it. No. We love the rain. And, of course, I want to mention, because we love what she does, Joanne Gallen is having a Mix-A-Go-Go event this coming Monday at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center. And it sounds like an amazing event and a very reasonable price, just $20 for a ticket. So I think if you're interested in that kind of thing, like actually improving your business and networking, maybe you should check it out, mixagogo.com.
I'm going.
Great. I am going as well. I think it's going to be a fun event. You know, Jackie, I was a member of the inaugural Hermosa Beach, Leadership Hermosa Beach class in 2003. First class
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
of Hermosa Beach, Leadership Hermosa Beach. But
I knew that.
Yeah, but, you know, we weren't first. Manhattan started in 1992. They started a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with that sometimes. And what a great program it was, and what a great concept, this concept of leadership classes in local communities. I wish we had some people from Leadership Manhattan Beach. Don't you?
Oh, too bad. We're not going to have any. Nah, I'm only kidding. You know I always get good people.
Yeah, you do. This is going to be fun because leadership, again, as I said, Leadership Manhattan Beach has been operational since 1992. And we're talking to them on their silver anniversary, 25 years, silver anniversary.
Yeah.
Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Steve Carvel, Jack Tracy, and Jim Dillavoux, representing the Manhattan Beach Leadership Class 2017. Steve Carvell is a regular guest on the South Bay Show. He's a Manhattan Beach-based estate planning attorney who has worked in the community for over a dozen years handling estate planning needs. As a member of the Manhattan Beach Kiwanis Club, he sits on the committee responsible for the Manhattan Beach Stand Afloat, which has been a tradition in the community since 1959. Now, Jack Tracy, a former senior pastor at Christ Church in Denver, is a local musician. Since arriving from Denver in 2011, Jack is consistently booked to perform on stages throughout the South Bay, including the Portofino Hotel, Barney's Beanery, HT Grill, St. Rock, Susie's, Sloopy's, OB's, and a whole bunch more. He plays weekly for the farmers markets on Tuesday in Manhattan Beach and Fridays in Hermosa Beach. Jack also performs at festivals, private parties, and social events. Jack's ukulele music blends an R&B sound with beach style to produce smooth versions of popular songs. JacksUkulele.com offers ukulele performance, instruction, and sales. He attended Washington University in St. Louis, where he earned a BA in English Literature and Spanish Language. He also attended Middlebury College in Vermont and the Spanish Institute in Madrid, where he studied Spanish Language, Literature, and Art. Jim Dillavu is co-founder and principal of Paragon Commercial Group, where he focuses on corporate strategies, acquisition, and capital structuring. Prior to joining Paragon, Jim was the senior manager of investments at Regency Centers Corporation. Jim is also was also an attorney with Latham & Watkins, where his practice area focused on real estate development and capital structuring. He represented institutional clients such as Credit Suisse, Goldman Sachs, and Deutsche Bank. Jim is a native of Southern California, graduated from the University of Virginia Law School, and is qualified to practice law before the California Bar. Jim is a vice chairman of the Urban Land Institute Small Scale Development Council, a guest lecturer at the University of Southern California Gould School of Law, a board member of Southern Methodist University Folsom Institute for Real Estate, and an executive board member of the USC Gould School of Law Real Estate Law and Business Forum. Most recently, Jim was awarded the Urban Land Institute's prestigious distinction of being one of the top 40 under 40 land use and real estate professionals in the United States. Now, Joe, this morning we're going to discuss the Manhattan Beach Leadership Program and this year's project, Save Santa's Float. This year they plan to revitalize the very popular Santa Float that tours the city during the holiday season. So, Steve, Jack, Jim, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us. It's a great concept, this whole concept of leadership classes for local communities. I know that most all of the leadership classes have a similar set of programs in the year. You're going to see the inner workings of City Hall. You're going to see the inner workings of the fire department, the police department, and so forth. Let me start with you, Steve. When have you actually had the classes, and how often do you have them in Manhattan Beach?
So the program, first of all, thanks for having us. I know we all said thank you right off the bat, but I don't think we've got the opportunity to really say it properly. Thank you for having us on. Thank you for letting us share our mission and the word about Leadership Manhattan Beach. I am sorry that you went through the Hermosa program in 2003, 11 years after Manhattan Beach's program started.
11
but
years.
We'll do our best to share with you all the things that we've learned in our many, many years. The leadership program in Manhattan Beach is probably a little bit different than it is in a lot of different other communities. The program is 9 months long. Some people refer to it like having a child, which it kind of is. We meet every other week for almost the entire nine-month period on Mondays. And those Mondays are scheduled or structured as classes. And each class has a facilitator who develops a curriculum and an agenda. And we learn about a different part of the city or a different part of city government for the first half of the class. The second half of the class is devoted to developing our class project. Each class selects or develops an idea. The class then votes on it, and they take it on as a community improvement project.
Right.
This year.
And that's, yes.
So I was going to go into it. This year we have the greatest class project ever to grace the halls of Leadership Manhattan Beach or any leadership program in the entire world, and that is the renovation of the Manhattan Beach Santa Float.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a huge undertaking. Actually, is it going to be renovated or replaced?
Well, it really depends on a number of factors, and one of those is whether we're able to raise the funds necessary to renovate or to replace. So the project is scalable, depending on how much we're able to generate. We have a series of different plans that we can undertake, and they're all based on the capital that we raise.
Right. Well, it's an amazing program. As you know, Jackie and I have joined you on the Santa Float a couple years ago, and it's just an amazing night or series of nights in the different zones in Manhattan Beach. And the residents love it, and they have parties, and it's just an amazing experience. So that's a worthy goal for the leadership class. That's a very worthy goal because the residents just enjoy that so much.
Fantastic. So last year the float made 6 special appearances in the community at the events such as pier lighting, the fireworks show, the Manhattan Beach Farmers Market, and other places. And then it went out and toured neighborhoods 14 different nights. So the community was broken up into 14 different routes. The Santa Float toured each of those routes on a different night in the first half of December. This year we had, you know, we measure the number of kids or the number of guests who come across because we also have a lot of adults and also pets and other things that come up on the float. But we measure the number by the number of candy canes that we give out. And this year we gave out just shy of about 4,000 candy canes. So we had 4,000 people come across the float. But that's not the whole story because many residents come out. They stand, you know, in their yard or in their on the sidewalk,
right,
and they watch the float and they tell us stories about how their kids grew up coming out and taking pictures on the float, or they grew up coming out and taking pictures on the float. The float started in 1955 with the Chamber of Commerce. It has done the same, well, it has done a similar mission every year since 1955. So it's a community icon at this point.
Wow, fantastic!
I have a quick question here, Steve. Now, the leadership Manhattan Beach leadership class, is that an arm of the city, or is that an arm of the chamber, or another organization?
Well, you know, I think leadership has ties to both the city, the Chamber of Commerce, and many other organizations within the city. But it's really, I believe it was started by the then chamber president as a way to develop knowledge about how the city operates for the citizenry. So it's not specifically tied to the city. It's not specifically tied to the Chamber of Commerce. It's an organic program that is run by a group of volunteers who have developed this program and continue to promote it and present it every year. This year is the 25th anniversary of Manhattan Beach's program, so we're very proud this year. This is a milestone for us.
Is it a standalone organization? Is it like a nonprofit organization, or is it just something in the ether?
It is a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and it is a standalone organization. It's run by a board of directors. The board of directors is elected from the membership, so it has a president and a board that determine its direction and continue it in existence. And you know, the thing about leadership is, and I'm sure that this is universal throughout all leadership programs, the people who are drawn to leadership are the people that are interested in doing good in their community. And so from the very beginning, you have a core of people who are like-minded and also very good people to be around. My experience in Leadership Manhattan Beach with not only my class and your classes, the group that you go through the 9-month program with. But my experience with not only my class, mm-hmm. but also the alumni, the people who have been through the classes before us, and there are something like 400 or 500 alumni at this point in time, they're all of the most wonderful people that you could hope to meet, and they are all heavily invested and involved in the community, and they're all there to give back. None of them are there for their own purposes. They're all there to do good for the community. And when you're surrounded with people like that, it's a great feeling. Every time I go to the class, I look around the room and I think how wonderful it is to be here and to be a part of this. And I hope everyone else feels the same way, because it's really a special experience to be able to, in today's day and age, where we're all busy trying to, you know, do the things that we have to do to live in the big city, that we also find time to give back to the community and to associate ourselves with other people who are interested in giving back to the community.
You know, Joe, you know, what's interesting is, you know, these different leadership classes, Redondo, Hermosa, Torrance, Manhattan, all of these leadership classes, you know, when they announce them, you know, on the different social media, and you'll get a picture of the group each year, and or you go to events and you see them, and you know, It's the 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Because you recognize these people, or you know these people from other events, from other organizations in the community. You know, you'll see them at fundraisers for cancer support, or you'll see them at events like, you know, State of the City. You'll see them at all these different events throughout the year, and it's the same people. It's the same. It's that 20%.
Right. And speaking of leadership, Jack Tracy. You have been uniquely experienced with leadership in terms of the Christ Church in Denver, and now as a musician. Tell us a little bit about what leadership Manhattan Beach means to you, Jack.
Well, thank you very much. I'd like to thank you both, Jackie and Joe, for having us on the show, and myself in particular. I'm happy to be here this morning. Leadership Manhattan Beach came to me because I play every Tuesday for the Manhattan Beach Farmers Market. And the Leadership Manhattan Beach had a booth last year in which they were recruiting members. And I met Peter Yolen, who is the president of Leadership Manhattan Beach. Isn't that right, Stephen?
I think he's the
president.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And so we struck up a conversation. It was curious because I graduated in 2013 from Leadership Hermosa Beach. And so we had an affinity in that respect. I guess that you and I, Joe, have that affinity as well.
Yes.
But Leadership Manhattan Beach has come to me in that respect and came to me in that way. And I think what Peter saw with me and what Peter and I both agreed on was that my contribution to Leadership Manhattan Beach could be something that would enhance the community, and that I could also learn the things that leadership would teach, that is, how to be a part of the community, how to give back to the community, how to be involved with those other people who are, as Stephen said, like-minded. And so I'm happy to be a part of it. I'm happy to be growing and learning how to give back to the community, how to be a support to the community. It's in my mind already, and so I'm attracted in that regard.
Excellent.
Well,
excellent.
Jack is another one that you see Jack every place. You know, he's everywhere and constantly. Another one of these individuals that has made community a big part of his life. You know, it's a given for what he does. You know, you see him playing every place, and it's just so funny because I remember the first time I met Jack was you know, we were friends on Facebook. You know, he has a great social media presence, and I was at the and this is several years ago, I was at the Riviera Village Summer Festival, and he was playing, and after he finished his set, I walked up to him like I knew him. You know, I mean, that's the thing about Facebook and other social media platforms is you feel like you know these people, although you've never met in real life. And I went up and I introduced myself to them, you know?
Yeah.
That's right, Jackie. I remember that vividly, and that was a great time, too. Thank you.
Yeah.
So, Jim Delevue, you know, there are corporate leaders, there are bank presidents, there are, you know, musicians, there are lots of different people in a leadership class, still all of them focused on Manhattan Beach, focused on what they can contribute to the local community. Tell us a little bit about the feeling of being involved in a group like that, Jim.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a great question. Leadership itself is something that requires study, right? Every from all facets of life, as you mentioned, whether you're CEO of a company or you know, you have an expertise like Jack does, or you are raising a family, they all involve leadership, and it's something that that I find fascinating. What makes a good leader, and how to become a good leader, and what qualities a good leader contains. And so, this class just gives us the time during the week to think about that, and to study that, and to learn about that. And we do a lot of discussion around what type of people we are, and what type of qualities we have, and what is a good quality and a bad quality, and what makes a strong leader, and what doesn't. So. You know, and that is why part of all Manhattan Beach, or at least Manhattan Beach classes, I don't know about Hermosa, is the class project. And the class project is what we all launch into in the second part of the class. And in this case, as you mentioned, is the Save the Manhattan Beach Santa Float project, which now we spend between now and May fundraising, designing, engineering, and constructing. And so that by next December, this float that Stephen mentioned and Steve's very passionate about, has been involved with for many, many years, has a new life to it. So that the current float is relatively dilapidated, and I think everyone in Manhattan Beach has seen the float. Steve mentioned it kind of goes through the entire city during the month of December, and everybody loves it. I have three children under the age of 10, and it's one of their favorite nights in December when that float comes down the street with that music blaring and Santa and the reindeer, and they just love spending that, you know, 1-2 minutes getting the candy cane. It's just a magical experience for them. And right. I think everybody who's ever been on the float, it sounds like Joe and Jackie, you've been on the float as well. You just want that to continue forever. And so that's why we've decided this is a really important thing for our community for a lot of reasons. And that right now we're in the fundraising mode for that. We're trying to do everything concurrently, but the fundraising is critical. And there's been a letter to the editor. We've got a website, which I'd like to give out to folks listening. Yeah. If they can go, they can see some pictures, and if they feel so inclined to make a donation, that the website is savembsantafloat.org. So savembsantafloat.org. Okay. There's lots of information about it up there, about Leadership Manhattan Beach. And, you know, look, if we just get a small donation from folks, you know, throughout the city, it's going to give us what we need to redo the float.
You know, it strikes me that this float, you know, following along with Steve's listing of how you number the people that it affects, we're talking perhaps 10,000 people a year are affected by the float. That's a huge number. What a huge impact it would be to have the float renewed and or replaced. That's going to make an impact this year. That's amazing.
So you're may I jump in here? The impact is really one of the things I'd like to speak to, if I could, just a moment. I was on the float the first night that it went out in Manhattan Beach last year, November 28th, I remember the day, and I was dressed as an elf. I was one of the elves. There were five of us, and we came to the very last street on our route, and we got out of the carriage, as we do, and people came out to have their pictures taken and to greet Santa, and there was a woman that came up to me, an older woman. She was rather short. She had gray hair, and she stood next to me, and she started telling me a story about herself. And she said that she was a young girl living in Manhattan Beach, and her birthday was right around Christmas time. And it happened that her father was the city manager at that time. I'm not sure if he was the first city manager, but I remember her telling me that he was the city manager. She was in her front yard playing with her friends, and her father arranged for the Santa float to come up the street that night. She had not seen it before. And Santa came up, and as he came up, he bellowed in a loud voice, "Merry Christmas!" And he said, "Happy birthday, Julie!" And it thrilled her and all of her friends. And she told me that she remembered that all her life. And it just, every time it just did something for her. And so when we got back in the carriage, I mentioned that to Santa. I was sitting in the front seat with him. And as we took off, and I can see those reindeer, you know, angled up and going down the street, bellowed again out with his voice. And he said, "Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, Julie." And I looked back, and she threw her hands to her head and opened her mouth. She was just thrilled, and she just had looked like a little girl. And I think that's the kind of impact that it has all around and has had for these 62 years, and we want to continue that. That's my part of it, bringing that sort of joy and
wow.
all around the neighborhood.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
That's wonderful. That's
yeah.
wonderful. I love that. Let me ask you, Steve, when you all joined this leadership class this year, how do you come up with what type of project you want to do? What's the process for that?
Well, almost from the very beginning, people are aware that there will be a class project, and so they all start. This year, there were 26 members in our class, I believe, when we started. Everyone sort of begins thinking right from the first class about what would be a good idea for a class project. As we go along in the first few meetings, it's suggested that we might start thinking or looking around or trying to decide on what we could do to provide impact to the community. I have a long affiliation with the float, but I initially was not going to propose renovation of the float because I felt like it was inappropriate. So as the time came along and people began talking about what their topics were, we came to the class meeting where we sat in a big round circle, 26, 27 of us at that point in time, because the class facilitator was with us. We went around a circle and everyone stated their idea. And I was near the end of the line and I stated my idea. And it seemed like all of a sudden some excitement began to grow, this idea of renovating the Santa float. The only reason I actually pitched it is because I couldn't come up with anything else. I was desperately thinking, trying to come up with something else that I thought would be a good project for us. The idea that night was that everyone would carry the ideas with them in the coming weeks, and then we would reconvene and everyone would vote. Well, I should back up a second. Each person who had an idea that they wanted to come to a vote was tasked with writing up their idea so it could be submitted to the group, and then we had a vote. Somewhere along the lines, and Jim and Jack, correct me if I'm wrong because my memory of this, I think this is what happened, but I think there were no other submissions for the class project. I think everyone gelled around the idea of renovation of the Santa float because it's so iconic. Does that jive with what your understanding of it was? Because I don't believe we had any other things in consideration.
You got it. Bingo.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So it became incredibly popular. And the thing about the idea of renovating the Santa float was it was exactly like just being around the Santa float, because everyone immediately becomes a child again. Everyone thinks back to their childhood. Once they get into that mindset, the magic and the wonder of Santa Claus comes to the forefront, and everyone just wants to support it. In past interviews, I think I've described for you guys this phenomenon that whenever someone comes around the Santa float or sees the Santa float, everything else just falls away and their inner child comes out. And that's one of the truly special things about this treasure that we have here in Manhattan Beach. So once everyone understood that the float was suffering – just like many of the homes here in Manhattan Beach, it suffers from all the same issues. Termites, dry rot, sun exposure, weather exposure, age. These are all the things that affect all the structures here in Southern California, and everyone immediately could understand, this is what the float's going through. This year was a particularly rough year for the Santa float. The a lot of the issues that we had been able to hold off with a little with bubblegum and Band-Aids really came to the forefront, and we were going to have to do something significant before next season. And so this was really fortuitous timing. The class has really rallied around behind it. But to answer your, that was a long answer to your question, we vote on it. Everyone comes up with an idea, we spread the idea, and then we all decide collaboratively what it is that we want to do. The project then takes on a life of its own. And what happens is a project leader is elected from among the class, a co-leader is elected from among the class, and then we divide up into five committees. We have a design committee, the committee that's tasked with developing the design for the float. And before everyone gets worried, we are going to be very true to the small town charm and small town roots of the float. There's been a lot of people who are concerned that we might get that it might get too sophisticated. We're going to remain true to the float. So we have a design committee. We have the fundraising committee, which is a very important component of the float and the project. We have a marketing committee, which is tasked with developing all of our materials that we provide to the community. We have a technology committee, which is tasked with developing our web presence, social media presence, and we have a finance committee. So the job is not so simple as we're just going to do this and we start marching forward. There are all these things that have to happen simultaneously. And in addition to that, there's a very strict time deadline. We're supposed to have this project completed by May the 13th. So from the time we really start in the on the project, which is the first part of January through May, there are a lot of things that have to happen in a very compressed time frame. And it really tests everyone's skills and abilities. And what it really I've learned, although I didn't realize this initially, is it's intended to be a pressure cooker where everyone's own leadership skills come out. And each of these committees has a lead. And each of these leads is tasked with motivating the people on their committee. The project leader and co-leader are tasked with motivating the project leads. And so it really becomes this application or this laboratory where we're supposed to utilize all of the leadership skills that we have developed in the first half of the class. So Leadership Manhattan Beach is not only about learning how leadership works within the city. It's also about learning how leadership works in life and the tools that you can use to lead others. And that's one of the biggest things that I've gotten out of it also. So long answer for a short question. I'm sorry that I went on a rant there, but it's really this fabulous process that I didn't understand from the beginning, and I really only recognized through hindsight, but now I realize this was part of the plan all along, and I was just going along and not even realizing it.
Well, Steve, this is fantastic. One thing I want to cover with each of you is to go through what some of your highlights were from the first half of the class, learning about the inner workings of the city. There was a key moment for our class when we went to jail, and that was kind of an interesting time for us. But
was it the first time for you, Joe?
It was not the first time. It was not the first time that I've gone to jail, Stephen. I don't want to talk about it.
I understand.
Bad memories. Okay. But we're going to take a break, and then I'm going to come back to each of you, and we're going to talk about some of your favorite moments from the first half of the classes. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking about Manhattan Beach's Leadership Manhattan Beach Class 2017, the Silver Anniversary Class, 25 years of Leadership Manhattan Beach. And this is an amazing class project that they're doing now, the Save the Santas Float project, and we're going to talk with them more. But we'd love to have your comments or questions. If you would like to call in, please call 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And yes, That was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with that, locking each other up in the Hermosa jail. But it's it's got two cells, so it's not like very hard. It's very much like Mayberry jail. There's only two cells, and you know, you kind of feel at home there. Tell me, Stephen, what was your favorite class from the first half, in terms of the nuts and bolts of how the city runs?
Wow, that's a really tough question, because I find myself at every class just being very excited about what it is that we're doing. I would say that the most eye-opening experience for me didn't really relate to the city. It related to the people who were in my leadership class. And so the way the leadership program starts is very early on. We have a 2-day retreat where all of the members of the class go to a facility, and they're basically sequestered. We're locked in. And it starts very early on a Saturday morning. I think it started at 7 in the morning. And as I was getting up and driving to the location where we were all going to board a bus and go together, I was thinking, oh, God, I can't believe this is – what am I doing? This is ridiculous. We got on the bus, and I could tell that most of the people probably felt the same way that I did. I was looking around, and everyone was kind of keeping to themselves. Maybe they hadn't had their coffee yet that morning. And as the bus departed – this camaraderie almost instantly began to develop. Jack was there. I believe Jack was playing the ukulele as we departed from our loading point. And we drove off. And that's where it became special to me, because I realized that all these people were just like me, and all these people were a little hesitant at first, but everyone just – they committed to it. And I think everyone was committed by the time we got off the bus 45 minutes later at the location where we were going to. And everyone was all in all the time for the entire retreat. And everyone has been all in all the time for every class and for every extracurricular activity. And so I think that was the most eye-opening piece to me.
Well, okay. Jack, tell me, what was your favorite class of the first half of Leadership Manhattan?
Well, I have to laugh a little bit, Joe, because I think Stephen stole exactly what I was going to say. I had the very same thought. What was really striking to me in the first half of the experience was our retreat. It was an open-art retreat. I was looking forward to it, actually, to get a chance to know some of the others. And I roomed with Will Yu, who is a part of our group. And I got to learn a lot and understand a lot about his life and his experience. He was in China during the Tiananmen Square incident. And he's had a great deal of experience worldwide. And he's just a tremendous person. He's got a grand heart. And he's the kind of guy that just is looking for an opportunity in every place to give to others, to serve others. And that characterized the weekend. I found everyone to have that kind of spirit, that kind of attitude. We did a lot of challenging things that challenged each other to find where it is that we have our own leadership challenges and struggles, and to work those things out with each other in an open and an honest kind of a way. It's been tremendous. And that retreat, I think, stands out in my mind above all things that I can think of right this minute.
Okay. Jim, same question. What was your favorite part of the first half of Leadership Manhattan?
I think we've talked a lot about the retreat, so I'll come up with something a little different. I think your original question was relative to the city and what we've learned about the city through the process. I think taking the time to understand how the city operates is something that very few people do. How a city council interacts with a planning commission, who interacts with city staff, interacts with the various departments, and how the business side of a city is run from the finance department to the Parks and Rec department. It is run like a large corporation with a budget, and it is run. It needs to be run efficiently, and it has a clearly has a political side to it and has a business side to it. So understanding the inner workings is something really everybody should do, because it allows you to figure out, you know, if you do have concerns, how do you voice those concerns? Who do you speak with? How do they get addressed? How do you move within that organization? It's not easy to kind of understand all of that, but that's one of the great benefits of the class, is that you get to meet the heads of each of these departments. You get to have a dialogue with them. You begin to know them on a first-name basis, and so when you see them around town, you kind of become friends with all these folks, and it makes the community feel even smaller and more friendly, and now you know how the community works, and you know who's running the community, and you get to know the politicians in the community. So that's really, at the end of the day, when you leave a leadership class, in addition to the leadership qualities, which we learn and we've talked about in this class project, which we're so excited about, you learn how the city works. And that's just a valuable cadre of information that I think most people don't have.
Joe, you're very, very low.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't hear you.
Oh, well, how about now?
You're still really low. But while you figure that out, Jim, can you give us a list of the other people in this year's leadership class?
Yeah, in fact, the easiest way to do it, Steve mentioned the number of folks we have in our class, but again, not to sound like a broken record here, I encourage everyone to just go check out the website, which has everyone listed as some pictures of the class already. So it's savembsantafloat.org. And that also links to the General Leadership Manhattan Beach website, the 25th anniversary class. And it's got a list of previous class projects. It's got a list of obviously detail of our current class project, photos. It'll give everyone, you spend 2-3 minutes on there, it'll give you a great sense of what the class is all about. But again, I encourage folks to kind of, especially if you've experienced the Santa Float, and it's hard to imagine anyone who lives in the city of Manhattan Beach who has not experienced the Santa Float. But if it's something you want to continue to experience, and you want your children and neighbors to continue to experience, you know, we would appreciate a small contribution so that we can do this right one time, and it'll last for another 60 years.
So Jackie, do you have an internet connection right in front of you? I'd love for you to go to that page, because there are some great pictures on that page too, and I think you'll in particular appreciate the lead picture. So it's
Hang on, let me get in there. Hold on, I'll open it up. In the meantime, Manhattan.
Say mbsantafloat.com or .org, sorry.
Okay. In the meantime, you guys are going to be doing fundraisers to make this float happen. Do you want to give us some of your fundraising information so people can know about it?
Well, sure. The page that we're so desperately trying to get you to open, which is www.savembsantafloat.org, is our primary, at this time, fundraising page. There is a donation link at the bottom of that page where people who want to donate can go and donate. We also have, if you prefer to pay by check or cash, we'll even accept cash, there's a mailing address there. We ask that you note something about the Santa Float if you mail us or mail the organization a check or when you donate, so that we know what the donation is for. We are also going to engage in a number of other fundraising activities. We have a fundraising committee that is desperately brainstorming ideas, and one of the things that will happen is we're going to have a social event, which will be coupled with a silent auction. So we're in negotiations for a very cool, hip, and trendy location here in Manhattan Beach. The tentative date for our fundraising event is March the 12th. At this point in time, that's a Sunday. It's the first Sunday after daylight savings time, so everyone will have to remember to get there on time. So that'll be a fundraising social event where we'll sell tickets, and it will be coupled with a silent auction. And we're going to have a lot of really cool things at the silent auction, including Rudolph, the Rudolph that has been on the float for the last approximately, we believe he's about 40 years old at this point in time. Rudolph will be auctioned off at that silent auction. So we have a lot of community outreach. We have a lot of local businesses that have donated or committed to donating silent auction items. It's a who's who of Manhattan Beach businesses and artists and others. So we're going to have a lot of really great things at the silent auction, and we will, for anyone who's interested, we'll update our page to give specific details about the silent auction. I don't want to go into too much until we've locked down the venue, because I don't want to give bad information. But that's going to be a great event. We are also going to be reaching out to the community in a little bit bigger and more efficient way. If you have ever been involved with the Manhattan Beach Santa Float, Santa knows who you are, and we are going to reach out to you. If you're a local organization that has a night on the Santa Float, Santa's elves know who you are, and we're going to be reaching out to you. We're also going to be reaching out directly to the business owners in Manhattan Beach seeking donations, and to many of the residents seeking donations. It doesn't take a lot. If everybody chips in a little bit, we'll be able to accomplish our goal. The last renovation that the Santa Float happened in 2009, and it was spearheaded by the owner of Trilogy Spa, and she put together just a small group of donors and was able to renovate the float at that time. It was a fairly significant renovation. One of the things that we're going to do with regard to this project also will involve protecting our investment in the float in the future with covered storage for the float. So there's a lot of pieces to this.
Mm-hmm. Now,
okay,
one thing
so
I see.
I'm looking at the website. Jack, if the music thing doesn't work out for you, you have a future career as an elf.
I appreciate that, Jackie. Thank you.
So this picture that you're looking at, Jackie, this really epitomizes this. There are two things that happen on the Santa Float. The children and the residents have the Santa experience. In other words, they get to come on, see Santa, take part in a tradition. But the other really special thing that happens is the thing that really, I think, not a lot of people recognize. These groups, so the float is staffed on its 14 nights by 14 different local organizations, and they're all charitable organizations or governmental organizations. These groups, the people within those groups, come on the float and they spend a night, which can take anywhere from 3 hours to 5 or 6 hours, together in the spirit of Christmas, making the float happen for that night. And this look, they wear that look all night long, that the happiness, the smile, the joy in being there. They take it very seriously. Most of them wear elf costumes. But you see all these people. These are four members of the current leadership Manhattan Beach class. If you look at the lady on the far right-hand side, she did her hair like that for the float. That's what I'm saying. These people go all in. They are all in all the time with whatever we're doing in leadership. And this is one of the things that we did in leadership. So, and then if you look a little bit down, I love this picture. This is Rudolph leading the way, right? And so Rudolph will be one of the auction items that we will have there. So these two pictures really capture a lot of what we do.
That the woman on the far right, she thinks she's from Whoville.
Well,
yeah.
Cindy Lou Who.
I believe that might be some of the motivation there, but you know, that's, you know, she's all in. She's all in all the time. By the way, that is our marketing committee lead. Her name is Julie Raven. So if we go left to right, we have Jack Tracy, Annie Hendrickson, Julia Dominessi, and Julie Raven. So these are, you know, if you asked us who is in the class, well, if you scroll down that page, you'll see there's a list of names there.
Right.
And yes.
So those are all of our class members. It's just a wonderful night for the organizations to get to go on there. It's a good way for them to solidify their relationships within their organization. So there are multiple things that happen with the Santa Float at any one time.
Right. Now I just want to make sure people understand they can go to savembsantafloat.org, or they can go to leadershipmb.org, leadershipmanhattanbeach.org, and just click on Class of 17. Either way, you're going to get to the Santa Float project, and that's fantastic. So now let's talk about any other events. I know the Santa Float is the project, but are there going to be other things, Jim Delavue, are there going to be other things that the Leadership Manhattan Beach class will be doing along with the float?
Yeah, the next couple months of the class are definitely dedicated to the float. It's as we've all talked about here, a big undertaking.
Right.
What you'll find about the members of the leadership class, as was alluded to earlier, is that they're all very involved in the community. They're the 20%, I believe Jackie said. So leadership is always it's not just a class, right? It continues to live and breathe. All of the alumni are still very involved. Everybody's involved in the community. And I think everyone tends to stay involved long after the class is over. So your question about are there other events? Yeah, the folks who are in the leadership class and the alumni of leadership are always doing events for their various organizations. A lot of charitable folks, a lot of charitable events around town, a lot of activities with the chamber. So I think the answer is yes, absolutely. There are tons more activities, but in terms of what our class is going to be doing, we're definitely focused on the float and the fundraiser that Steve mentioned, the silent auction, which is going to be an outstanding event, and we'll have it up live on our page with all of the details, hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Fantastic, fantastic. So, again, that's savembsantafloat.org, and then, of course, just leadershipmb.org and click on Class of 17. There you go.
So, Joe, if I could add on a little bit there will be a grand unveiling also when the float is complete, and we're targeting right now May the 13th for that grand unveiling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the project is supposed to be completed by the end of the class, so we're targeting May the 13th. That's a Saturday. It also coincides with the Leadership Manhattan Beach 25th anniversary alumni party. So we're going to do a combination event where the float will be unveiled, and we will have a large alumni event, hopefully with all 400 to 500 alumni present also. So if you're an alumni and listening, please mark your calendar. The alumni director will no doubt be sending you something about that.
Right.
You know,
wow.
Joe, remember last year, I think it was the first time they did it, and it was hugely popular. They brought the Santa float out to the last concerts in Pollywog Park.
Yes.
Last summer.
Yes.
And the
yes.
numbers were astounding of the people that showed. They brought the float out so that families could take their holiday picture early so that they weren't scrambling
right.
at the last minute to get the family picture for the holiday card. And so they brought the float out to the final concert of the season in Pollywog Park. And Steve, was it you that we talked to about this the last time you were on?
You guys have been so generous with your time. Yeah, I think definitely. You're a major outlet for us in terms of spreading the word about the float. So, yeah, what we did was we had gotten requests during the holiday season from people who wanted to use family photos to create their holiday cards. But by the time we toured the neighborhoods in early December, it was really too late for them to get them printed and get them out. So we did a special event where we went to the last night of the Manhattan Beach Concerts in the Park series in Pollywog Park. That night was a Beatles tribute band night. It's probably their largest night. We had the float and a Santa near the children's area. And there was literally a nonstop line for the 5 hours that we were there. I forget the numbers, but the numbers were huge. I want to say it was something like it was thousands of children that went across the float in that
right.
very short time frame, children and adults. And at one point, we had more people on the float than I've ever seen before. The entire, a significant portion of the leadership Manhattan Beach alumni got up and had their picture taken. And I think there were 25 or 30 people hanging off of all sides of the float. And that is on their website somewhere. I haven't seen it in a while, but yes, it was a great event, and you guys have been very kind in helping us to spread the word, and we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's an amazing concept, and it is a signature idea. I think, of course, you're going to repeat that, and we're going to see Santa at the last concert at Poliwog again this year, I hope, because it just makes sense.
That's the plan. If we can renovate the float, you know, one of the things that I want to make really clear is the project is called Save Santa's Float. A lot of small communities are losing their float, and they're, you know, this is not a unique thing to Manhattan Beach. A lot of small communities are losing their float, and I think the issue is kind of twofold. One, these things became very popular in the 1950s and 1960s, and they've probably mostly reached the end of their useful structural lives. And the other thing that's happened is public service organizations, the organizations that are really tasked with managing these floats and making sure that they get organized and they get out into the community during the holiday season, public service organizations are really going – there's a shortage of people who are interested in being involved in public service organizations. It's not like it was in the 50s and 60s, and I'm not sure why it is, but almost all public service organizations, their membership is declining and has been declining for a long, long time. So for a couple of reasons, floats like this are becoming less common. There's a small community up near Oxnard that recently just lost their float. I saw something published about it, and it's pretty common to see that all over the country. So it's important that we first raise the capital to renovate and improve the float. It's got serious problems. So this is not something that we're doing that is a nice to have or we'll just make it better. This is, at this point in time, it's really a necessity if we're going to keep this tradition alive here in Manhattan Beach. And so that's why we're reaching out to everybody. And it's why that I'm very glad the Leadership Manhattan Beach Class of 2017 has taken this on as their project. The organization that manages the float is the Kiwanis Club of Manhattan Beach. That's a part of an international service organization. If anyone has any interest in being involved with the float, that is a great organization to volunteer with or to become a member of, because if people don't join that organization, things like the float in the community just won't happen anymore. There's not a cohesive unit other than the local service organizations who can make this happen. The float is not a city production. We get a lot of support from the city, but the float is managed and operated by public service organizations.
Right.
Well, that hour just flew, Joe. That hour just flew. We got to wrap this up.
I guess our last couple of minutes together, Steve Carvell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. And Jack Tracy, we are looking forward to seeing you at all the local farmers markets in Manhattan Beach and Fridays in Hermosa Beach and all the eateries around town. Thank you for joining us today, Jack.
It's very kind of you, Joe and Jackie. Thank you very much for having me, and it's been a pleasure this morning. Thank you.
And Jim Delavue, obviously all of you are excited about service. What a great testament to our community all three of you represent. Thank you, Jim Delavue, for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. It's been enjoyable talking about the Santa Float, and look forward to folks visiting the website.
Excellent, excellent. And, of course, that website, savembsantafloat.org. Save MB, as in Manhattan Beach. Save MB, santafloat.org. And, of course, you can always go to leadershipmb.org and find out everything about Leadership Manhattan Beach. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, thank you, Jackie.
Hey, you're welcome, Joe. Always a pleasure. Just want to remind everybody, Valentine's Day is coming up. It's next week. If you don't have reservations, better get on that now.
Right, right. Tuesday, Valentine's Day is coming up. It's really coming up fast. So chocolate, flowers. Those are old hat. Try to think of something new and different and exciting for your favorite partner.
Okay, let me tell you a great gift, a great, great gift. I gave several of these at Christmas. DNA kit from Ancestry.com.
Oh, yeah. That is a good thing.
Yeah, everybody loved it. They said it was the best gift ever. So that's a great gift idea if anybody needs one. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.